Welcome to Barrel It Up. I'm your host, Jay Jambrone. We've done a show before with Chris Goodchild, and we have to do another one because we got him to the point that he gets drafted by San Francisco. And I really want to talk to him today about that whole experience of being in the minor leagues. And then we'll get on to later on, he gets playing in senior baseball. And it'll be interesting to see the juxtaposition of those two things, and get a chance to talk to him in detail about that. But Chris, I want to thank you for being here again, and welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
Yeah. And this one's starting smoother than the first one when we had technical difficulties, but this time we've got it all straightened out. So, but anyway, so we left off last time where you got drafted in the June draft, and that was in what round again?
I was drafted first round. I was a second player picked.
Wow. Nowadays, you'd be just swimming in millions of dollars. It wasn't quite that way at that point, was it?
No, the money really wasn't there, but which was kind of funny because, and also like I had a lot of scholarships. I mean, I had you know, SC, I could have went to UCLA.
Oh, wow.
I had a lot of, after I got drafted, a lot of the colleges, you started getting letters from the colleges and they were interested in you. I mean, that, but I really wanted to sign, but you know, it was funny. I ended up signing for $15,000, which doesn't seem like a lot of money. I mean, it was, you know, I probably, and that was another thing when Mr. Genovese came to, you know, to the house, it was just me and my mom. We didn't know how much to get or shouldn't get or whatever. And I probably could have got more money, but I didn't know anything about negotiating and I just wanted to play pro baseball. So he gave me the offer and I signed. So that was,
you didn't have an agent.
Didn't have an agent. No. And you didn't have the internet to look, okay, this is what, a first round pick or a second round pick should get. There wasn't information like that. So anyway, I just signed and I look back and I'm thinking, well, how much would have, 2 years at SC cost? I mean, would it cost more than $15,000? I'm sure even back then, but.
Well, there's for people listening, there's a podcast that you can look back on, Tanner Bibee, who's pitching for Cleveland, and been pretty good so far this year.
Yes.
I talked to his father about that whole process. And because his dad knew, his dad knew how this all worked at that point.
Right.
And his dad kept him out of the draft until he went to Fullerton and developed where he could finish at Fullerton and be in a whole new situation at that point.
Right.
So that's how drastically different the generations are we're talking about here, right?
Well, now they have like a thing called slot money. You know pretty much where you're drafted. You know, back then it was just, you really didn't know. So, you know.
And how did your mom feel at that point? What was her attitude about?
I think she was, I think she was happy. I mean, she would have liked me to continue going to school, but I really just wanted to play. So, and she just said, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. So.
Yeah. So where'd they send you?
I went to Great Falls, Montana.
Hmm.
So it was the Pioneer League. And my, I'm trying to remember my coach's name. Last name, Ernie Rodriguez was my manager there. And he I guess he actually coached in the because that was a June till September league. It was a half league. So he coached at Roosevelt High School in Los Angeles, and I actually played against him in an Easter tournament when I was in high school. I don't remember him then, but he remembered me. So.
Wow. But, well, that's good that he remembers you. That always helps.
He remembers. So that helps.
Did he ever say what they told him about you? You know, they're sending you to him. Does he ever say, hey, this is what they're saying about you so far?
Not really. I don't remember ever having that conversation with him. But I ended up starting. I was a starting pitcher up there. I don't even remember what my record was, but it was kind of a big adjustment because I played in junior college and now I'm playing in pro ball and the competition's a lot better. Just everybody's pretty good. I mean, they're decent, and it's, so it was a pretty big transition for me to really.
Was it?
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, was it like a culture shock? Here you're going.
It was a culture shock. It was because you had to get an apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still living at home. You know, you had to get an apartment. And, you know, I think I was telling you before, our salary was like $550 a month. Oh, and I remember the apartment was like $200 a month or $190. And then you had to get food and you had to get, you know, so it was a big learning experience. I mean, besides just playing baseball, you had to learn how to, you know, pay bills. And it was pretty, I'd never done it. I was always living at home. I never had to do any of that stuff. So, and like nowadays, you know, you had to get, you know, your own meals and stuff. Now I think at the ballpark, they cook meals for these guys before when they come there, and maybe have meals afterwards. We didn't have, you know, and on the road, we got $8.50 a day meal money. So that pretty kind of limits where you're going to eat. You know what I mean? Because even back then, it was probably $3 for breakfast or $4 for, you know, whatever. So you had to really be kind of, you really couldn't eat three meals. You had two decent meals. I mean, that was kind of, I remember a lot of canned food. I mean,
And you don't have the nutritionists that you would have with you now making sure you're eating the right things.
Right. I think Major League Baseball really started doing things right in minor league because, you know, it's their investment too.
Yeah.
And back then they really didn't take care of you, I don't think, as much as they really should have, you know. I mean,
you weren't like getting an apartment with like three or four other guys or something.
I actually did. With three guys. Yeah, I actually did because you just couldn't afford, you know, by yourself. So
I talked to one guy who played in that same league and everything a while later in the '90s. And I saw him in an apartment in Rancho Cucamonga. And it was like, at that point, you know, you're sharing, but at that point you're probably also carrying around modular furniture that you can use in your various locations because these apartments don't necessarily come furnished.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I do remember. That's right.
Did that one have furniture already, or did you have
to? I think it did have, you know, limited. It had like beds and just the bare minimum. I it wasn't a lot of furniture. Maybe one couch. I don't think we even had a TV. I don't remember, but it was pretty just basics. I mean, I remember going and trying to get like buying a pot, you know, to cook warm food up in. So we had to do that. So it was quite an experience.
How long did it take you to get the camaraderie of a team for these guys coming from all over the place?
I think it happened pretty fast. I mean, I think, you know, you're all kind of in the same boat. So
especially your catcher.
Yeah, and there was a couple of catchers, and I don't remember who the catchers were now, but they would go back and forth. And then if a guy got, you know, would get promoted or whatever, then you'd lose them. You have another guy, but you had this same catchers pretty much the whole year, I think. But
and how did you feel by the end of the year? Did you feel confident that?
Yeah, I didn't know really what to think. It was different. You know, I guess. I mean, I look back now and I wish I knew what I knew now back then.
Oh yeah.
It's just, I mean, I think for me it was just like playing and then you learn it's kind of a business. You know, it's not just, you know, it's your numbers and I don't really think I really knew the whole what the whole thing was about. I was just kind of floating in a little bit. I don't know. It's
because all of a sudden you've got guys that are coming, you know, and in junior college everybody's with you there, but now you're getting into pro ball and guys are coming and going.
Right.
That kind of creates some insecurity, I would think.
It's kind of hard. It was just different for me because I didn't play at a really good rate baseball program. I think where like if you go to college first, I think it kind of sets you up kind of for success, I think. And you know, I think back then they didn't have great pitching. We had roving pitching instructors and I don't think they really taught you like they do now. You know, now they'll work with you. Okay, well you need to, you know, maybe develop a changeup. I mean, I played pro ball for 3.5 years. I never threw a changeup.
Oh, jeez.
And it's like, why wouldn't, you know, I developed my changeup late in the senior league.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, because you're smarter, you know. And I look back at that, and I'm thinking, and I recently, I just talked to one of my buddies that I played pro ball with in the Giant organization. He lives in Fullerton. And we were talking about that. And hit the same thing with him. And he goes, you know, they never really worked with us about pitching.
Yeah.
You know, which I think now they do. I think now the programs are a lot better. I really they really work with you more, you know.
That's one of the things I talked to Scott about his son Tanner. And he said that they immediately got into all the biometrics and stuff with his kid.
Right.
They found a little tweak that he was doing with his side or something. And he's increased his speed by 4 miles an hour.
Right. And they didn't do that with us. You know, that was the thing. You know, at the end of the season, you either went to instructional league or you went home.
Yeah.
And then you would receive your contract for where you're going to play next year. They didn't do anything in the off season with you. So I remember like going back, I had to get a job. I worked in the off season. So it wasn't like, you know, I was working at baseball. I mean, I worked out a little bit, but I didn't really have a program. They didn't really set up a program for me.
Wow.
And I think now they do. I think now they set the, you're pretty much on your own. And that was my biggest regret, is that not maybe going to a college where you got, I would have been a little older and maybe a little wiser. And
it would have been an all-year program too, because
right. I think now they do. I think now they do the minor league ball players. I think it's all year round now. I mean, and I think that's a big advantage. You know, and even back then we didn't lift weights or anything. You know, that was always kind of taboo. Now, you know, of course, guys lift weights and they do all these different things. It was still fun. I don't have any regrets, but I just think it could have, you know, I could have had maybe more success if I had really known what I was doing more, you know, instead of.
And of course, that's one of the reasons now it makes it more difficult for whether it's MSBL or NABBA, whoever, to get fields for their national tournaments now, because they've got the kids there all year round.
Yes. Right.
So how did you, the season's over. Did the coach give you any feedback about how he felt your season had gone? And
not really. I remember just getting a letter. I mean, you get a letter from San Francisco and they're just kind of, I mean, they kind of tell you, okay, you know, you should continue to work out, whatever. But not really a lot of feedback. I don't remember getting a lot of feedback. I mean, I really don't. I mean, and the next year I went to Clinton, Iowa, which is A-ball.
Right.
And I had a decent season. I mean, we had a so-so team, but I think I had a pretty decent season. My ERA was in the threes, but like I said, I never really learned how to pitch, you know. And it's like I think to make that big leap, you have to know how to pitch.
You didn't have a specific pitching coach on the team then.
We had a roving guy that. His name was Larry Christensen. He would go to all the different teams and he'd be there for a couple of weeks at a time. We didn't have a pitching coach in Clinton. And the next year I went to Fresno, which is a high A, and Jim Maloney was a major league pitcher. He was our pitching coach there.
Yeah.
But Jim Maloney was the guy that threw super hard and I didn't really learn a lot from Jim because I think he was one of those guys that, you know, threw in the high 90s or whatever. He didn't really need to know how to pitch. He just, you know, it was kind of like great guy, super guy, but I don't remember that much help.
He's not teaching you a lot of finesse in your.
No. Like I said, not compared to what it is now. I think these guys have such big advantage and they really do teach a lot better now. They really do. I mean,
so did you think all that had a, you know, by the time you're getting to Fresno, is it having a negative effect on your arm? The fact that you're not getting...
Well, I did, you know, I remember I told you right before I signed, I hurt my elbow and it was kind of coming back a lot, you know, and it was kind of like, I would start off really strong and then I would kind of go back because I think my arm would start, but I just pitched through it. You know, I would just throw through it. And I think you look back, I think, you know, now maybe I would have needed, you know, I've had Tommy John surgery. I don't know. I mean, but that kind of held me back a little bit. Then I got married to right before I went to Fresno, I got married. Mm-hmm. So that kind of made it a little bit, you know, more complicated because my wife was going to UCLA. And then as soon as school was out, she would come down and we'd get an apartment together and stuff. Yeah. So it was great having her there, but it was like, you know, it was almost kind of like another distraction. It was just kind of, I don't know, you know.
Not only that, but the budget doesn't go nearly as far at that point.
Well, exactly. I think, Ben, maybe I was making $600 a month. I don't know. It didn't go up a lot.
Oh, gee.
But so I remember one.
How did that season go throwing, though?
Same thing. I started really strong. I had one game that I ended up pitching 11 innings in the game.
It was
against Modesto, and I gave up an infield single in the first inning. And I pitched till I never gave up another hit. I ended up pitching 11 innings.
Oh.
I got no decision. And the guy that I pitched against was the Oakland A's organization. It was a big left-hander. He ended up playing in the big leagues for a few years. I don't remember his name, but uh-huh. I locked in a game with him. I mean, now I don't think they'd let you throw 11 innings now.
But
I gave an infield single in the first inning. But anyway, I started off strong. I think my arm got tired
You're pitching how many days between
every 5 days.
So yeah. At least you're on that rotation, not a three rotation or something. And how was that team?
You know, I never played in a team that made the playoffs or anything. We were just average team, I think. But we had a lot of big league guys. You know, we had some big league guys in that team. But
did you ever during the year have people that got sent down for rehab or anything like that on that
team? Yeah, guys would get sent up. We had guys up and down. Yeah, yeah.
And were you able to get anything off of some of those guys that were coming down for a little while?
Not really. I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot of information shared. I mean, seems like you're all in the kind of the same boat. You're trying to get up, right? I mean, we had a great team. There's a lot of conversation, but I think it was not so much helping wise. I mean, I don't remember talking to guys like, oh yeah, you should do this or do that. I don't remember that, but cause you're trying to get to the next step. So,
So you've made it through high A. And then you got an off season coming up. Has anybody given you any feedback at all by this time?
I don't remember a lot of feedback. I really don't. I really don't. Because I really think that my seasons were not that consistent. You know what I mean? I'd start off really strong and, you know, win two or three games and then I would just kind of, I think, because of my elbow, I think my elbow would get tired. I think that was, so I don't know. I think by that time I probably wasn't on the radar that much. I think it was just kind of like, you know, just see how it goes or whatever.
Yeah. So the next letter you get says what?
Well, then Reno, which I went back to A ball again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was there for part of the season. And I just got to the point where like me, I was married and I was just like, you know what? I think this is just not going to work. And my arm didn't feel that good. And it's just like, and I just end up leaving and I just kind of walked out of it. So, but
they didn't say, hey, get out of here. You said, gay.
I think it just wasn't working out either way. You know, it just kind of like, and like I said, my arm wasn't really that healthy, so it just ended up being it. And I was married, and it's just time to move on. You know, it's just time to.
How did you break it to your coach?
I remember we were playing in Bakersfield or something. I don't remember. It was towards the beginning of the season. I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I was just kind of like, you know what, this isn't. I my wife was getting ready to come up there and I was just like, you know what? I don't want to, it just doesn't feel right and stuff. And that just ended up being it. And I just said, you know, I'll go back, pack my bags and come home. So that was it.
And he sat there and went, oh, okay.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was like, no, are you sure? You know, I mean, it's like, you're a man, so you just do what you have to do. Right.
Yeah. So. Because how old were you by that time?
22. Mm-hmm. 22 and a half. I was still pretty young.
You would have been just come out of college at that point. to get
it. Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And they would have taken much better care of your arm, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Well, I have a funny story. So I quit playing baseball, and I come home, and I start working, and my arm, I didn't throw for like 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
And I started throwing again, I don't know, 2 or 3 years later, and man, my arm felt great. I mean, it was just like, it felt like, wow, this is like better than when I was playing pro ball. And I don't know. And I was just looking, and that's how kind of the senior league came into it. Well, actually, it was longer than that because, you see, 22. So 2 or 3 years, I started throwing again. I can't remember where I was playing, not an organized, but like, you know, these park leagues or something.
Oh, they had.
You know, like where just guys got together and played or whatever. So I was playing in that, or collegiate leagues. That's what it was. It was like leagues. And I started playing in that. And I played here and there and for maybe 2 or 3 years. And my arm really felt really good. And then about that time, I ran into, I don't know if I can say his name, but anyway, sure. Phil. I ran into Phil. And he's told me about a league in Orange County, the senior league. And this is quite a few years later. I don't know how many years exactly, but 89, maybe? 88. Okay. And he told me about this league, and then that's how I met you, and that's how And he goes, you got to play. And it's like, my arm felt really good. I was playing in the college leagues and stuff and doing really well. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, but that talking about the Tommy John surgery, I think by not throwing for 2 or 3 years, it kind of healed itself.
That sounds like
never,
it. Yeah.
And I never had a chance to do that when from college to playing pro ball. I never had I could sit out for 4 or 5 months, but I never had a chance to. So.
Yeah. And how was that transition to playing in a senior league as opposed to what you'd been doing?
Well, it was, I liked the senior league because there's guys my age, you know, and it was kind of like this in the collegiate league. I was still young, but you're playing against guys 19, 20, you know, in college or just out of college or high school but the senior league I really liked it.
Well, and especially in those early days of that particular league, there was a lot of good ball players in that.
There was
some ex-major leaguers in that league. Yeah. A lot of minor league players in that league. A lot of college players in that league.
Yeah.
So the competition was pretty serious.
Yeah, it was, and I liked that. I liked it. It was. I really had fun. That was that first year. Now you were on that first team, right? You were.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember some of the guys. All the guys anymore.
Oh, I should have had it out because I'd have to dig to find it. But I have a picture of that the first team you were on. You weren't on the World Series team, but that World Series team, and you'd recognize a whole lot of people in that picture from both our beginning team and some of the other guys that were playing on other teams at that point. And then in subsequent years, you got to go to the World Series. And how did you like that competition?
Really good. I think the competition was really, really good. I remember the Phoenix had a good team. I don't remember their name. They were really good.
Angels or something like that.
That's right. And they had a lot of ex-big league guys in that team. They had some good players. They were stacked. They were pretty good.
I've mentioned it to you before. I still have some questions about how long some of those guys had been out of pro ball at that point. There was a rule about 3 years, and I think that some of that wasn't probably quite 3 years at that point.
one of the pitchers. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. As a matter of fact, I apologize. Felt bad for you because you had to come and pitch you were supposed to pitch against them, but actually you weren't supposed to pitch against them. You were supposed to be there for the final, but unfortunately you had to pitch in the quarterfinal game because it went to extra innings and then had a big layoff before the semifinal game. And the guy who was supposed to pitch the semifinal game came up hurt at the last second. So you had to get back out there again, and you know, that just wasn't good for you.
Yeah.
And so that game didn't turn out too well for us. And it was the first game I ever got thrown out of in my entire life. So
Where was that at? Was that at Tempe Diablo? Or
yeah, it was in the stadium at night. Yeah, because we had played on field three. We had played on the second outdoor field. In the quarterfinal game, and had a I don't know how that umpire was. You probably don't remember.
I don't remember.
When you had to come in and pitch in that quarterfinal game, because we had already had some problems with him in that game. Because we had some players of color on that team, and I don't think he liked that very much. And he was a Texas League umpire, and so there was some issues during that game, and I don't know how many innings you had to pitch in that game, like three or four or something, and I don't know how, you know, accurate an umpire he was and everything.
Right.
Because he was a pro umpire, so hopefully he was pretty good, but
very accurate. Yeah.
And why did you leave playing? Why did you stop playing senior ball?
After I left Southern California, I played in San Diego for a few years.
Uh-huh.
And I played with the San Diego Gyms. I played with them, and we played in a few World Series. We won three or four World Series with that team. I think just because I live in Mission Viejo, just to traveling down to San Diego and I don't know, I just got older. My kids, I have two boys, and they, you know, they started playing Little League and different leagues. And it just, I don't know, I guess time wise, I don't know. I miss playing. I do miss playing.
Yeah. How was bringing those guys up in baseball?
It was fun. They played on travel teams and they played high school baseball. One of my sons played college baseball.
Oh, wow. Where'd he play?
He played at Whittier, which is played at Whittier College, and he played at Santa Ana first for a year, and then he played at Whittier for 3 years.
When I mentioned my associate producer, Robin, her son played at Whittier. He pitched at Whittier. Yeah.
Oh, really?
He pitched at Tribuco Hills, and then he hardly ever got to pitch at Tribuco Hills, but then he went and pitched at Whittier. I don't remember what years. It would be interesting to see how the boys, if they were there at the same time or not, you know. But
okay. Yeah, my son graduated in 2012, so that was his. 2012 is when he graduated.
That would have been real close. I'll have to check on that.
Okay,
I'll check with her on when they may have known each other on the team at that point.
Right,
that'd be wild. But
my son played at Capo, and then his senior year he made all Orange County.
Oh wow!
And I remember we went to the All-Star game, or they had the All-Star dinner, and one of Corey's teammates, Mike Watt, he ended up being a second round pick for the Dodgers. He's pitcher, left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were sitting at the table with Freddie Freeman and his dad.
Wow.
And Mike Watt and us. And that it was, got to meet Freddie. And Freddie Freeman was this really super, I mean, really, really nice kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell. I didn't know he's going to be the player. I mean, obviously he's a good player, but.
Obviously,
him and his dad were like super people. He was really, really nice. Really impressed.
That's really cool.
Huh. Yeah.
Did either of them get close to being drafted?
Well, Freddie Freeman got.
No, I mean your sons, the boys.
Oh, no. You know what? One of the guys, my son, they did look at my son a little bit. He was smaller and really good hitter, good his middle infielder. But I think he was, at that time, he was like 5'7", probably 140 pounds or.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think that they're a little worried because he had like Long Beach State was looking at him, but they were kind of worried about his size and they were worried about if he was going to be durable enough, you know, to go the season. So I remember the coach, you know, and so he said, you can walk on or, you know, and we probably have a spot for you, but we can't guarantee you anything. And then, of course, my son was academic wise, he's pretty sharp. So he ended up going to Whittier and got an academic scholarship. So.
Oh, that's great.
And got to play baseball too. So.
Yeah. The one of the guys that we both know that was my first interview on this channel, Don Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You remember him? He got drafted by San Francisco. But it was the same kind of thing as your son, you know. His size just didn't compute with them, you know. They just were worried about that. It's extremely rare for somebody those sizes to get a shot.
Right. And And of course, now he's, you know, he's 5'8", about 180 pounds. I mean, he's, you know, he works out a lot. So it's, you know, but at that time he was really small. He was a good ball player though. He was a good player.
Does he play in senior ball or anything like that now?
He doesn't play. He doesn't have time with his job and stuff. He doesn't have time, but he did play for like 2 or 3 years afterwards, but then his job started. He just didn't have time. So
He misses
baseball. Now, Mike Watt, that guy that he played with, he still plays baseball. He still plays in the senior league.
Wow. Well, actually, you guys could start up a father-son.
I know.
And probably be pretty good.
I thought about that when I was still playing in San Diego. They started that father-son thing. Yeah. I thought about it, but never happened.
But, my son wasn't into baseball, but at one point, the guys that I was taking over there to the World Series, they had had an experience with somebody else that wasn't a pleasant experience in father-son. So they said, hey, Jay, would you do it? So I ran a father-son team over there for about 4 years. And we weren't overly successful, but it was a blast to give opportunities for fathers and sons to, and we played against a team that had a grandfather, father, and son on it.
Mm.
And as fact, the son was a freshman pitcher, the youngest one, and he came out and pitched against us, and we just lit him up like crazy. He was a real tall, skinny kid, just killed him. And I went to his grandfather because I was coaching third, and his grandfather was on, you know, playing third. And I'm going, hey, you know, he says, hey, he's learning. That he's going to face bigger and stronger people pretty soon. And he's got to learn how to handle that. So we're leaving him in. Let him learn.
Right. You know. Okay. Take his lumps.
Poor kid, he gave up like 20 runs or something. That was really bad. So one of the things I always ask everybody at the very beginning, that before we leave, and you've told some really great stories during this whole thing, is there any other ones that you can think of about people or situations that you would want to leave us with today?
I'm trying to. I draw a blank right now. I don't.
That's all right. That happens. And in senior ball, is there anybody that former major league players or anybody that you faced that you got a chance to pitch against in any of these games over the years?
I think like Rudy Law, I played against him I played with him.
Uh-huh.
And gosh, Sylvester Washington, I had some, you know, him and what's the other guy's name? There was quite a few guys.
Lorenzo Gray,
yeah. Yeah.
Because he did get a call up during the strike year out of our league. He got a call up out of our league.
what's his name? Dan Boone, he pitched.
Yeah.
I pitched with him in San Diego. He actually got called. He got called to the Baltimore Orioles in that during that strike and stuff. And actually pitched two or three games. And he was good. He was a little guy. He wasn't that big.
Yeah.
Dan, little left-handed pitcher. Really, really good player.
Well, what I totally forgot is whether or not when Lorenzo got called up, if we ever gave him a release. Because he had a contract.
That's right.
I didn't think about that at the time.
You'll have to look into that.
Well, because I used to have a bunch of those contracts, John Urrea and, you know, a bunch of those kind of guys. I had their contracts that they signed with the league. But somehow, because I was the secretary of the league by that time. And the one that I can't find is Rod Carew, because Rod Carew never played in the league, but he did sign a contract to play in the SoCal MSBL. And I know I kept it aside for the future, and now I can't find it to save my life. I don't know what I did with it, but I would have loved to have that framed right now.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Well, before we say goodbye to Chris, I got my usual housekeeping stuff to do. And we'll do that right now. I want to thank everybody for listening or watching Barrel It Up. Please subscribe to the channel. It's a big help to all the people that do podcasts. And also a rating, 1 to 5. 5 would be great. That's the top one. You can leave comments at barrelitup@yahoo.com. And also, if there's somebody that you think should be on the show, please leave their name and why and their contact information with me. That would be great. Don't worry about spelling that. That'll be in the description. If you'd like to see a complete list of all our guests, because now Chris has been on shows number 100 and 101. And Chris, there's no big trophy that comes with that. I'm sorry, but
that's fine.
But anyway, if you go to jjambrone.com and look on page 5, you'll see a complete list of everybody that's been on the show. If you go to Facebook or Instagram, on Instagram, you go to barrel_it_up, that you'll see some video clips from a lot of the shows, and hopefully from these will be on there soon. And I want to thank everybody that makes the show possible. My contact at Pod Populi that does all my editing and distribution. We're distributed on all podcast channels. That's TJ that helps over there. And then I want to thank Susan, my executive producer, and Robin, my associate producer. And I've got to check and see if her son was pitching at Whittier at the same time that Chris's son was there. And that'd be really great to find out. But Chris, thank you so much for doing these two shows. It's been a blast to catch up. And we'll have some more stuff to talk about now, especially if you come on over here to Arizona, and we'll have more chance to catch up on things. Thank you so much.
Thank you.